Welcome. This is Higher Ground. Ground, the 30-minute radio revival that will warm your heart, taking you to higher heights and deeper depths in the Lord. Higher Ground is sponsored by the Church of God at Roseburg, and Pastor Bill Houston will bring you a vital message from God's Word. Right after this inspirational song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Higher Ground, the Maranatha Singers, Seek Ye First. Now, the pastor of the Church of God at Roseburg, Bill Houston, brings you a study that is meet in due season, here on Higher Ground.
Welcome, my friends, to Higher Ground. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Revelation 2:2-5. My message today, God calls the church to repentance. Shalom. May the Heavenly Father bless this message to your hearts today. The text is a message from God directly to the Apostolic Church. The seven churches referred to in the second and third chapters of Revelation represent the church from which Pentecost unto the end of the church dispensation. Our text is to the Ephesian Age, which represents the church in the apostolic days. The church at first had great power to heal the sick, cast out devils, and perform other miracles and wonders. Their love also was very near perfection. They had all things common. It is not clear just how long the church existed in the state of near perfection before they began to fall away from their first love and lose power. But it is evident that within a few years they began to slip. When John wrote the book of Revelation, God recognized their backsliding and called them to repentance. This call will go for any church that is not fully measuring up to the standard. God compliments the church for the good there is in it before He censured them for their shortcomings. He complimented them for the good things they were yet doing. No church or individual backslides suddenly. They do it a little at a time. They begin to slip and slide. Fail here a little and there a little. Their love begins to cool. Their interest begins to fail. And after a while, their interest has faded out and their love is cold. Then they have taken their place with the backslidden. They still had some spiritual life. They still loved God and one another. But it was not the same love that caused them to sell their property and divide with the poor. They still had a horror for evil and detested those who said they were apostles and were not. They still held to the original principles of Pentecostal religion and were against the things that were wrong generally. They were still working. I know thy works and thy labor. They had works, but not like their first works. They had slowed down, but had not yet fainted. Great numbers were not being saved and healed like in the beginning. They hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, but this thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 6. Though they had declined in their love, they retained their hatred for that which was evil, especially what was grossly so. The Nicolaitans were a loose sect who sheltered themselves under the name of Christianity. They held hateful doctrines and were guilty of hateful deeds. Over all its failures and shortcomings, the Lord complimented the church for hating the ungodly doctrine and the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. God gave them credit for all the good that there was in them. But when He finished telling them of the good things, He was plain to tell them that He had something against them. When God deals with the church or individuals, He deals with facts. If one is wrong, He tells him. If he's right, God tells him and blesses them. God calls upon the church to repent. Repent and do the first works. We usually think of repentance as being for the unconverted. But here God called upon the church to repent. Not that they had backslidden, but because they were backsliding. They were failing. They were drifting farther and farther from God. Repentance was their only justification. God declared that He had something against them. When God has anything against a man, His only means of becoming justified in the sight of God is to repent and go to work. He demanded of the church, repent and do the first works. God's people are not only required to do right, but they are also required to work. God threatened to further penalize them for failure to repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The candlestick was the church. The moving of it would mean that God would move the church away from them except they repent. People can be the church of God only as long as they do right and practice the teachings of the Bible. If the church continued to drift as it had in the past, God knew well that they would cease to be the church that He had purchased with His own blood. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. He calls upon them to remember. Remember your first love. Remember your first works. Remember the power you had with God in the beginning, and the blessings and the joy of salvation you first enjoyed. To compare their present experience with their former experiences should awaken them to repentance and quicken their efforts to do their first works over. It would be well for any church or individual to take an invoice of their present standing with God and compare it with their former experiences. The church today needs to repent. God has always had a great deal of trouble with His people backsliding. Israel often went into sin, and God would send prophets and call them to repentance. He would often threaten them and sometimes let awful calamities come upon them because of their failure to repent. The church is far from what it ought to be. The ministry is short of the necessary power and anointing to preach the gospel. Signs should follow the believers. Spiritual gifts should be manifested in the church. The sick healed, devils cast out, and other miracles and signs should be done by the hands of the believers. Confessions, repentance, and prayers of consecration are our only hope. The righteousness of good men is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken hold upon us and taken us away, according to Isaiah 64:6. Our righteousness is not worthy of being exalted. It's not necessary to tell God how good we have been. Our way to the heart of God is by confession of our wrongs, repentance, and consecration. The average Christian acts as if we were trying to hide something from God. We should lay our lives open before Him and pour out our very souls unto Him. The church at Corinth repented. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. Paul was writing to the church, not sinners. The church sorrowed to repentance. The average member of most any holiness church is afraid to repent, afraid someone will think that he is backslidden. Most every individual member of the church feels his need of deeper consecration. There's a vacancy in your heart and life. You realize that you're not what God would have you to be. You have often wondered what you could do, that you might have more faith and power to work for Him. Perhaps we have failed to give all to Him. We have taken Him as Savior, but not as Lord and Master. Therefore, it appears that we should come up on higher ground, freely and fully confessing our sins, and receiving His pardon through His own dear Son. Then with the Spirit shed abroad in our hearts, we will have a glorious church, a united church, a working church, a courageous church, a church that will see, hear, and feel, and act as one body to the glory of His great name. Then and only then will be added to the church daily such as should be saved. May God bless this church with the fullness of His Spirit, and make it sound in doctrine, steadfast in the truth, ever ready to make sacrifice and consideration, yes, even of a worldly character, to the obedience of our beloved Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, as who said that God is a Spirit, and that they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Many are taught that to worship God in spirit, it is necessary to feel something in their emotions or in their bodies. If they do not feel the moving of the Spirit or do not feel His presence, they think God is absent, and they have failed to worship Him in spirit and in truth. When they pray, if they do not feel something in their emotions or spirits or in their bodies, they feel that they have not contacted God, and their prayers are futile and unheard. When they are prayed for their healing, if they do not feel His touch, they do not believe they are healed. Good feelings are delightful. Feeling God's presence is wonderful. But feelings are fleeting and transitory. It takes just a little thing to change our feelings. A smile, a kind word, a warm hand clasp can make us feel wonderful. But a harsh word, a disappointing letter, an ill-cooked meal can make us feel terrible or miserable. Our arch enemy Satan does not attack us primarily through our spirits, but through our bodies, minds, emotions, and through these he often drags down and defeats our spirits. Few Christians live at a high spiritual pitch and feelings at all times. Life is often made up of mountains of exaltations and valleys where feelings are at low ebb. Consequently, when a person who is taught to believe that to pray or worship God in spirit, he must feel in his body or emotions God's moving presence, comes to a worship service at a low tide or prays at home at a dry time and doesn't get the feeling that he's looking for, he feels that his worship was in vain and his prayer unheard. If this continues for a few times, he becomes discouraged, grows cold in his love and service, and can easily backslide and be led back into sin, thinking God has deserted him and that the effort to be a Christian is too much for him. When Satan finds a person whose faith and worship and prayer life and love of God are based on feelings, he knows he has found someone on whom he can begin to work, and he will contrive to block any good feelings and see that feelings of discouragement, despondency, self-pity, and defeat plague this victim until his ardor cools for worship and for prayer, and he's an easy victim to backsliding. We need to remember that feelings do not constitute either salvation, healing, or the Holy Spirit. All these blessings are based on facts. The facts of God's promised word of Jesus, shed blood of the stripes that was on his back, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and on down to our day. And the fact of our believing and accepting on God's terms of these great blessings. Feelings, then, are merely the bonuses that God throws in and pours upon us at times just because He loves us. When I kneel to pray, I know that I'm God's child and that He hears my prayer, whether I feel fervency or emotion or presence or not. Why? because of His promise and His word to hear me when I pray if I meet His conditions. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That's found in 1 John 5, 14-15. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. 1 John 3:21 and 22. When I attend a worship service, I know I am worshiping God in spirit and in truth, whether I feel anything emotionally or in my body or not, because I am doing what He asked me to do, and I know He's there whether I feel Him or not. My faith in God, my salvation, my health and protection, my baptism of the Holy Spirit are not based on feelings and therefore not subject to the winds of whimsy or discouragement or the manipulations of my bodily feelings by my arch enemy Satan. They are all based on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and His Word. With Paul I can shout, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the final verse of chapter 7 of Romans. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 57-58. There must first be a willing mind, Paul said. Do you choose to close the book of complaints and to open the book of praise? Do you choose to ignore what life owes you and to think about what you owe life? Do you choose to stop looking for friendship and to start being friendly? Do you choose to be content with such things as you have and stop whining for the things you have not? Do you choose to enjoy the simple blessings of life and to cease striving for the artificial pleasures of the day? Do you choose to forget what you have accomplished and to meditate on what others have done for you? Do you choose to cease looking for someone to help you and devote yourselves to helping others? Do you choose to consecrate your life to the service of an imperfect church and to remember that Christ chose 12 imperfect followers to be His disciples? Yes, Jesus was the world's greatest optimist. With only a handful of disciples aware of his own impending death, He talked of a church that would live forever. My friends, are you in that condition today where God is speaking to you, that you need to repent of the condition of losing your first love? That fervor, that power that you had with Him back there, where that you desired to live that overcoming life, that you desired to put away sin, that you desired to put away the works of the flesh, that you desired to stand against the power of the enemy, that when the devil came against you, that you took your authority in the name of Jesus, you resisted him, you submitted yourself unto God, and said, I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to live in the lust of the flesh, because the Bible teaches us, friends, that God does not tempt us. Sure, He allows us to be tempted. He allows Satan to tempt us, but God does not tempt us. We are only tempted when we are led away and enticed of our own lust. And those that live, and those that walk in the lust of the flesh, according to the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, shall not be in the kingdom of God. They shall not be there in that great day of God Almighty when He comes to make up His jewels. And we're living down in the last days, my friends. We're living in the time when it behooves you and I to repent of the lukewarmness, to repent of losing our first love, to repent of those things that have come into our lives and have separated us from God. Isaiah the prophet says that God's arm is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He does not hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God. If God does not seem to be answering your prayers today, my friend, if it seems you have not that fervor that you once had and that spiritual attitude to where that you knew that God was walking, working, and living through you, then you need to repent and come back to the place to where that God once again can lift you up out of the depths of the miry clay and once again call you to a mountaintop experience. Call you back to that higher heights and deeper depths in Him where that He can use you for His honor and for His glory and for His praise so that He can take you and make you and mold you and cause you to be that servant. Yes, a disciple, one that has been disciplined in the principles of God's holy word. That word disciple means those that have been disciplined, those that have become disciplined followers of the Lamb of God. Yea, that are willing to follow Him whithersoever He leadeth, wheresoever He goeth, wheresoever He calleth. My friends, when you first gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, that you had that love toward Him, that you just wanted to do whatever He asked you to do. And when He told you to go here, you were willing to go. And when He told you to go there, you were willing to go. And when He said, come up and seek My face, you said, I will seek Your face. But the church has grown cold today. They're in the state of losing that position with God that they had in the beginning, where that they had power with God, and that the signs followed them, that wherever they went, that Jesus Christ was there manifesting Himself as He had promised that He and the Father would manifest themselves to them. Oh, my friends, let's come back to a place of true repentance and turn from our wicked ways. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways as they seek His face, He says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Oh, our nation today, it has become rotten in the center of the very place that God wanted to place His name, in the church. And the church today needs a renewing. It needs a rewashing. It needs a new renewal of repentance in their lives and doing the first works over, that Jesus Christ once again might be the true Lord of their life. Let this be your experience today, my friend. Oh, come back to Him with a heart that's dedicated and consecrated and alive unto Him that is risen from the dead and that He is Lord. Let Him be Lord of your life once again, my friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's call to the church for repentance was the message today, my friends. May God truly give you that repentance.
Thank you, Pastor Bill Houston, here on Higher Ground. Here are the Heritage Singers. Thank you, Heritage Singers. Have thine own way, Lord. And thank you, Pastor Bill Houston, for that inspirational study here in the Higher Ground program.